Thank you, both Joe Barry, and appreciate that song very much. And I understand you. I either read from my tablet, or I brought these little reading glass things here this morning. You want to borrow? Because it's getting that way with all of us, isn't it? We're all getting a little bit older, no matter what we do. So that's all right. We're not made to live here. We're made to live somewhere else. So we're going to get there, and we're never going to grow old. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning, the title of the message, Onward Singing Soldiers. Onward Singing Soldiers. And no, I didn't mess up the title of the song, but we might look at that in a little bit. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Going to read about three verses to begin with, and then we'll take a little bit of a text with some key thoughts a little further on in the passage. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1, it states this: "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." So a whole bunch of people. "Then there came that some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There is a cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of the Syria, and behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." Here's the scene. Jehoshaphat, one of the better kings of Israel during this particular time. We did a play a couple of years ago back with one of our drama camps, and God willing, we'll be doing it this summer with one of the camps we'll do for Spiritual Twist down in Garner. And it's entitled Fat, Fat Jehoshaphat. And it was a play off of some of the historical studies on him. And then later on in the play, he goes into a fast and he comes back out. And they said, whoa, he's flat now because he's been on a fast. Well, maybe we need to go on the flat fast, you know. But it was a great play. I learned a lot from it. And here is Jehoshaphat, and he's beginning to get word of some bad news. Now, this morning, I accidentally clicked a button on my phone. I was down by the pond at the camp a little after daylight, and I clicked this little button, and it was Reuters, however you say it, newscast. And this voice started sharing all the news of the day that had already happened. And I quickly found that if I was going to have a great prayer time with God, I needed to turn that thing off. It was all about, you know, and I feel bad for the folks in Texas, and then some country people were out in the streets and they were shooting at them and they were killing people, and it wasn't necessarily great news. Well, here Jehoshaphat has been told the Ammonites, the Moabites, and a whole bunch of others, the termites and the bugbites and the yo-yoites and all of them, they're coming after you and they don't like you. And they want to destroy your nation and take everything away, as we indeed have many that fear us that want to do the same to America these days. And Jehoshaphat, it says in the Word of God, feared, but he knew what to do about it. He went to God in prayer and he began to fast and pray. I believe this took some time. A lot of times people in church, they hear the preacher say, well, just pray, but you need to pray and trust God and believe God and seek God in prayer and believe God and do His will and do His doctrine, and then things are going to be all right with you. And what the people really hear is, just pray and you'll be all right. Jehoshaphat had some scared soldiers. They were scared now because they are facing an enemy from all directions. And so the first thing that if you were going to take notes that you would see is that we have scared soldiers. They've gotten bad news from all directions. That seems, you know, I love when people say, is that relevant to our times? It's kind of like one time I had a fellow tell me, that was pastoring down in Florida, and he said, well, you pastors, you don't ever get out in the real world and know what that's all about. I tell you, that week was one of those weeks. We had, with our academy there, we had to expel some students. We had a new baby born I was at the hospital with. About 2 in the morning that week, I was actually, the funeral home director was running short of people, and I wound up helping him pick a dead body up off the floor about 2:30 in the morning and put it in the back of the hearse. And I was helping somebody else get their, try to take care of their family, where the one was hooked on drugs and had gotten in problems and was in trouble with the law and had been in the prison that week. And about 2:30 in the morning, when I was helping carry that body out, I thought, I wish I had that bird that said we don't get out in the real world with me right now. See what he's doing about 2:30, you know. But he didn't know. It was not, I guess he just didn't know. None of us, last March, had any idea what was about to happen, did we? We should have. I was talking to a gentleman, as a friend of ours from another denomination, the other day, and he said, you know, I don't know why any of us were surprised. You folks have been telling us from the pulpit this was going to happen for years. It's got to happen. And we got our calendars cleared. We got things changed. The world as we know it changed, and it probably will never return to what we knew before COVID. We got all kind of bad news. We got things of this happening. Then we had rioting, and then we had this, and then we've had, I don't know that we've seen many, many years that we've seen our White House in the state that it's been in various forms this year. There's even contingency in many and some states, and even in many places now, that it looks like that what could happen in the future, we may even have many nation states, and America may not even be America within the next 20 years. That's a very real possibility. But all these things, as they seem to pile upon us, some have lost jobs, some have lost families, some have lost lives. And it does seem like we've had this ite and that ite and the bug bites and the termites and every other ite coming at us. But we need to do, and we, like Jehoshaphat, can be the scared soldiers. I've kind of laughingly said last year we did a drive-in judgment house, and we may have to this year. We don't know. But I laughingly said for next year, 2021's judgment house, what we could do is just set up big screen TVs in every room, and we'll just play a different 20 minutes of news from from a different month of 2020 and call it a day, you know? If that don't scare somebody, I don't know what will. As we come and look at what he did, though, he begins to pray and seek God. And 2020 caused some to go further away from God and some to get closer to God. I hope the latter will be your case. As we see what happened here, Jehoshaphat begins to call his army together, and they were no doubt scared. But then he tells them something very, very interesting. And down in verse number 17, I found this great verse some years ago. We were going through a battle in our lives, and I was very concerned about how we were going to deal with it. And sometimes the best thing you can do when you don't know what to do is nothing. And I came across this verse in my devotional time, verse 17. I love this verse. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and O Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. As I said, there are times that you just need to stand still, don't do anything, but just trust that God is in control. If you ever want a very interesting word study, look up the words fear and dismayed in the Bible and just do a study on just those two little words. Not only did Jehoshaphat remind them that you may be scared, there may be cause for fear. In church, there's definitely cause for fear in the day in which we are living. But also remember this, you are shielded. Remember that His banner over you is love. Remember that you are loved with an everlasting love, and under His wings shalt thou trust. And He calls to their mind that you don't just have to be scared, but remember you are shielded. Remember the old Star Trek movies? They'd put those shields around and you can't do nothing through those shields. You know, you see two kids out playing in the playground and they'd, I got my shield on against you. You know, you can't touch me now. When you are living in the perfect will of God, doing the way of God and doing the work of God, you have a shield that I don't care what's fired at you, it can't touch you. And He looked at them and said, you are not going to have to fight this battle. There are times in our life that we come against things and we realize we can't do it. And it is at those times that you need to be reminded that you are right. You can. But I'm reminded of what the angel told Mary when she said it is impossible for a virgin to have a baby. He said it is, but remember this, with God, all things are possible. Don't tell my God what He can't do. I've seen Him too many times. We were talking about it the other day. I've seen miracles in the Philippines, Brother Calvin, where He multiplied toys. We didn't have enough, and all of a sudden we had enough. We had counted. I've been in situations where we didn't think we were going to get out, where we were on the side of the road, didn't know where we would get home, or when our child was in the hospital and they said, we don't know how this is going to work out, and yet God did it. I've seen in our own lives how God took people who God's people said, y'all never do anything for God. And I've seen Him do it. God takes the impossible and He says, I. You notice the beginning of impossible is I'm. And He takes that I am and He said, just add one little word in there. And you just put the A in between there and you got I am possible with God. These soldiers were shielded. But then I want you to see something else. Not only were they shielded, but He does a very, very interesting thing. Verse number 21, when He had consulted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Hold all those that maybe we got some veterans here. All those that are veterans in our congregation, would you mind just standing up for us this morning? All the men and women that have served our country. Wow, great host of you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Stay standing for a moment, would you? I've got a lesson I want to show you. Now, I want to get, in the days of Israel, this is not picking on the ladies, but in the days of Israel, everyone who was a male had to serve in the military. They got a year off. They called it a honeymoon period. Then they had to serve in the military for, I think it was a couple years or so. So if we were doing the way they did, all the men now, would you stand up? The rest of you that are not already standing. Because I know we have some fine ladies in our military as well. Now, it would stand to reason if this were the nation of Israel, this is who would go to battle. You would have grabbed your swords. You'd have grabbed all the paraphernalia that you need to go to battle. And this is who you would be sending, this great. And now let me tell you, if we were going out here in the parking lot having to fight to get out of here, I think I'd like to have you guys with me. In fact, I'd like to be right behind you, and you go right out front. I'll be right behind you. I'm with you. Well, thank you, guys. Y'all can all sit down. Now, it's not what he did. This is probably the strangest military strategy I've ever seen in history. But instead, he said, now, let me get all the choir and all those that sing special in church. Some of you might be the same. Why don't you stand up for me? Would you do that? Miss Kay and Miss Kathy and Miss Cindy. I mean, you can see me. I don't think I'd want to mess with either one of them. So Miss Kay will get you with that cane, won't you? She'll get them. The numbers look drastically different here. Now, thank you. Y'all can be seated. Thank you very much for what y'all do. Now, can you imagine our military going out to fight a battle? And they say, now we're going to have the Marine Army Corps that does the singing. We're going to put them in the front. That might look a little strange. And how many of you be willing to volunteer to be in that number? They weren't scared before. You know, I have noticed something over the years, and this is just an observation. I don't have anybody in mind right now in this church I'm thinking of. But I've always noticed that people that tend to be very negative or have a problem or really not get along well with others, I've also noticed that when I'm just kind of sitting in church and watching, and when we have a song service, you know what they're doing? Anything but singing. They're looking around, looking to see who's here. They might mumble the words along, but they don't really sing from the heart. You know, they don't ever just rear back and sing. Now, maybe they do when they're on their own. But there is something to be said, and now I promise you've never heard me sing a special, and there's a reason for that. I'm kind of like the one person. He looked at the other and he said, did you see how my voice filled that hall tonight with my song? He said, yeah, and I saw how people left to make room for it too. Well, that'd be me if I sang a song. I don't sing very well. I can't even clap in time. I enjoy clapping when people clap along with them good old happy clappy songs, you know. I try. Doggone it. Every time I clap, then you guys clap 2 seconds later. None of y'all don't clap in time, apparently. I mean, I can't even. One time my wife literally, she said, hold your hand like this, and I'm going to hold your other hand, and we're going to clap, and we're going to clap in time. She finally gave up. She said, just don't clap. I'll clap for you. So I just look happy. Say, no, doing a good job. Keep it up. I don't know. I guess I've got a gene in my body that does not musically work right. I don't know how I ever played the trumpet a little bit. But that being said, the singing soldiers, he put them out front, the singers. Now you just think about that. Kind of reminded of the play we did. One of the lines was, well, we're going to appoint the choir to go out front today. And the little girl was leaving. Well, it's about time they recognized our value. You know, he said, oh, great, because you're going to be right out front. And now look, don't worry about it, but they're going to be throwing spears and arrows and fire darts at you. But you just don't worry about it. You just keep singing. And she said, spears? Fire darts? Arrows? On the second thought, maybe the army better go in front. This is having to trust God that God will do what God said He will do for the singers to go out front. I tell you, when you don't know what else to do, sometimes just don't do nothing and keep singing. I remember some years ago, I hadn't thought about it until I saw him sitting over there this morning. Brother Calvin and I were in the Philippines on a missions trip, and a tsunami had been through, and we were getting feeder bands from that. And I remember that as we were there, we had several skits. We did those, and then Brother Calvin was singing right before we did a message. And one of those tropical storms came blowing right in. It was so bad it blew our van driver who was coming to get us off the road. They had to go get him. And there's no windows, mind you, in this little building we're in. They don't have windows. And so the wind was just whipping through there. And we were getting, you know, pounded. The rain was coming in so hard that it was just blowing in through the little windows. And the roof was, you know, we were kind of looking around and we were looking around. He was starting to sing, and the pastor said, "Keep singing, Brother Calvin, keep singing." So Brother Calvin's looking around, so he just kept singing. And they made, like, we were already packed in there like sardines. This was definitely pre-COVID. And they started drawing together as a crowd, and pretty soon we couldn't even hardly move for the people. And they drew everybody to the middle to kind of shield us from the rain a little bit. And I looked down there, and around my leg, there was about, it looked like a swarm of a couple of hundred mosquitoes. And mind you, we were on an island off from the mainland of the Philippines. We had to take a 3-hour ship ride over there just to get there. I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere. There was a no-fly zone. I didn't even see any planes. And all of a sudden, I looked down, and there's just swarms of mosquitoes all over my leg. And I was like, "Well, dear Lord, what to do?" And Brother Calvin just kept singing. And I said, "Well, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm just going to ask you to make these be Christian mosquitoes or something here." Say, did it work? Well, one of them went off singing Power in the Blood once he bit me. But you know, I don't remember ever getting sick, so I guess he did a good job of it. And Brother Calvin just kept singing. Keep singing. You know, do some of us kind of good every now and then just to sing or say praise the Lord, you know? And said, so when they had begun to sing and to praise, and he gives us the exact words he said. Would you try it with me? In verse 21, let's just all say that together, that last half. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Can we try that? Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Try that out again. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Let's do it one more time. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. It's pretty hard to say that and be real sad, isn't it? You think about God's mercy and His praise. And here these singing soldiers went ahead of them, and we're going into battle, and it tells us what happened. And when they began, verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise, I love this, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with dead bodies, precious jewels, which they had stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, for they were 3 days in the gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Well, Calvin, can I get you to come up? I've talked about him a few times. Can I get you to come do me a favor real quick? He always scared when I do that. I promise you don't have to try to pray for toys to multiply or sing or nothing. So, would you just grab that Christian flag and bring it up here to the front where everybody can see it? There was so much that they couldn't even, it took them 3 days to gather all the spoil. Now they were no longer scared soldiers. They were also shielded soldiers. They were singing soldiers. That's a mouthful. But they were shouting soldiers. Because now they went running in and they didn't have to do anything. Isn't that a pretty flag? I tell you, I knew you'd wave it if I brought, and that's what I wanted you to do. I want you to just get an image of this flag. The Christian flag was born, the idea of it was first conceived on September 26th of 1897. It's in Brighton Chapel, Coney Island in New York, and the superintendent of Sunday schools, Charles Overton, came in to give an impromptu lecture to all the students because the scheduled speaker had not shown up. He looked over there and he saw the American flag, and he had no notes. And so he began to look at the students and he said, "I wonder what it would look like if Christians had a flag." Well, that idea stayed in his heart for many years. And after that, by 1907, he and a man by the name of Ralph Diffendorfer, the secretary of the Methodist Young People's Association, designed and began promoting the Christian flag. With regard to the symbolism of it, this is what has been come up with or came up out of that meeting. The ground of the flag, as you see here, is white. All down in the bottom corner of that, representing peace, purity, and the innocence of the Christian and our Lord. In the upper corner up there, you see the bright blue square. That's a color and a representation of the sky and heaven, the home, and the one day goal of our Christian. All of us. Remember scared soldiers, singing soldiers, shielded soldiers, and then they were shouting soldiers. One day, I'm looking forward to this week. We're going to be doing Midnight Cry in our filming back here, and we're going to try to show the rapture in it this time. So it's going to be quite interesting. But man, can you believe when it happens for real? Shouting soldiers. Of course, the symbol of the center of the cross is also blue. The center of the blue is the cross. Of course, that's the ensign and the symbol of Christianity, of our Lord dying on the cross for us. And as you may have well guessed, if you didn't already know, the red is for the blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary. Learned a lot this week in doing some of that. You know several different things. I learned one thing. I learned why do people put shamrocks on around St. Patrick's Day? Well, that's because it's too heavy to put regular rocks on. But anyway, that was free. I want to make sure you were paying attention. Something else I want you to think about with this cross. Our Lord, and I use this verse a lot because it's one of my favorite, made a promise. He said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against the church." And you know, he made a lot of promises. He kept all of them. Many of them, the rest that needed to be made are being fulfilled even as we speak. And as we see all of those events unfolded, it doesn't mean the church needs to slow down, stop, or even go backwards. You know, as we're looking at the things that are coming at us in our world, as Jehoshaphat here had all these different ites coming at him, and you know, we don't know how long it will be before it is a crime for a Christian to go to church. I don't know if you realize in the last month or so, my last couple of months or whatever it was, one of our main media sources, Facebook and Twitter, banned Focus on the Family permanently. Their crime? They stated that Dr. Rachel Levine started out life as a male. The assistant health doctor of the entire country now by our President Joe Biden. So we probably just got banned permanently too. You're welcome, E-Team. I'm sorry. But we're trying to get back on right now. They already are all over us, I guess. But that's all right. They don't want us on there. That's fine. But that's all they stated. They didn't say anything negative about him, just stated the facts. That is a public record. And you would have thought he'd been proud of that he made this change or whatever, but instead they labeled Focus on the Family as committing hate speech by stating that fact. Which, of course, hate speech is now a crime. And you can see where it's going to continue to go. And that's just one of the many issues. The rest of our world is still living, and some of them are still even living in almost lockdown situations. But do you realize, my wife and I were talking about it this morning, and she said, I don't want to be here to see it. One of our young men the other night in youth group, or maybe it was we were together somewhere, said, well, I hope this all just happens about 100 years from now where we're all gone. We don't have to worry about it. Do you realize, although the church, I don't believe, is going to be going through the tribulation, I mean, you don't hurt your spouse. There's a lot of stuff. This old world is going to have to be in such a mess that when the Antichrist steps in and says, I have the answer, it's going to have to be in such a mess that everybody's going to say, yeah, we'll take that no matter if you're the devil or Christ. If you would start working on pulling that screen down for me, Brother Matthew, and Miss Jennifer, if you'll come up there to the piano in just a moment and it's not a time for us to back off of ministry and maybe just settle down. 1865, Sabine Baring-Gold wrote a hymn, and eventually the Salvation Army actually adopted that hymn as its favorite processional. It became their most favorite hymn of Mr. Sullivan. And the lyric was written as a processional hymn for the children that were walking in near St. Peter's Church when they would go into Sunday school eventually. The author of it one time actually said, I really apologize because this is written in great haste and I'm afraid some of the lyrics are quite faulty. And he allowed hymn book writers to change it, although most of the ones that were originally in there are now back. It's very interesting. This hymn was used actually by Sir Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt when he and Franklin Roosevelt met. This hymn was also back in the 80s attacked by many liberal think tanks and mindsets and said this hymn is way too militant to belong to churches, but after a great outcry, it was kept in most denominations. That hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. And I don't know if you'll start pulling those up for us. And so we see the words to this great hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. I want to read to you the quote that Winston Churchill gave. And I believe he was a man ahead of his times in some ways. He said, we sang Onward Christian Soldiers, and indeed I felt that this was no vain presumption. But we had the right to feel that we were serving a cause for the sake of which a trumpet had sounded from on high. When I looked upon that densely packed congregation of fighting men of the same language, of the same faith, and of the same fundamental laws, the same ideals, it swept across me that here was the only hope, but also the sure hope of saving the world from measureless degradation. As you pull those words up for us, and maybe if you want to start playing those, and just think about those, and then I'll get Brother Roland here in a minute to lead us in it. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Now, as I see Brother Calvin here standing there with that flag, I think about that as it says, Onward Christian soldiers, marching as the war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. I think about the Bible passage that says, his banner over me is love. Banners were made to show where a person was from, where they were going, and who they were serving. You think about what that flag stands for, the blue of heaven, the white of the innocents, the cross of who we serve. At the signal of the triumph, Satan's host had flee. On did Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundation quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices loud, your anthem raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus, going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading. Boy, you think about the words of that, where the saints have trod. We are not divided. All one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus, going on before. Onward, join our happy throng, blend with our voices the triumph song. Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King, this through countless ages men and angels sing. What an awesome song, isn't it? Look, Calvin, I know you might be getting tired of standing there. If you want to put that back, Brother Roland, if you'll kind of make your way up here. And friends, whether it's COVID, and I know we have to do precautions, whether it's going to be attacks from without, which I believe are coming even more than we've ever seen before, whether it be that Satan hates the church of God, which he does, church, onward, onward. We cannot sit back. We cannot relax. If COVID scared the entire world, one little pathogen did all that, just you wait till all hell breaks loose when we start getting ready to go into the tribulation period. It's just touching the surface. Brother Hilton, as one of our scientists, will tell you, this has been told was going to happen for years, and this is just a minuscule thing of what's out there that could break loose. But it doesn't matter. Whether we have to hide in tombs again and hide in caves like the early Christians to meet, onward, church, onward. Don't take a seat back, onward. You'll notice on the armor of God, there's nothing on the rear. That's because we're not going backwards, we're going forward. Brother Roland, where'd he go? There he is. Why don't you lead us in that? And why don't you stand with me and sing this? And I want you to think about those words. And I want you to think about, let's go onward, shall we? As Miss Jennifer plays there, I don't know, this morning maybe you kind of been discouraged, or you kind of thought about just giving up or stopping, or maybe you don't know Him as Savior. I wouldn't want to not give you an opportunity. If you want to come forward and just come down here and kneel at this altar, maybe you can do that right there in your seat. And you say, God, I want You to help me go onward. As she plays this morning, let's just have a kind of bow our heads, have an attitude of prayer. If there's someone here who doesn't know You, God, I pray right now they come to know You. Maybe there's Christians here and you say, I've been really discouraged because I felt like quitting. I felt like God doesn't care. You know, God's just asking us to keep going onward. Will it be different? Sure. May it be discouraging? Sure. May it be disheartening? Sure. But can I promise you there's always delight in following God and going onward? Father, I pray that You would be with this great congregation here and the great host that's watching online. And Father, help the church of God to continue going onward and forward. Don't ever let us stop bearing the message of the cross so that we can reach others, so we can pull them out, even as Jude says, as by fire and saving with compassion, saving some. And God, I pray that You would just help Christians be encouraged and help them remember that no matter what comes our way, we can continue to go into battle singing and be onward Christian soldiers. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.